June 22, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speak, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic, Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is the Ramadan conversation, The Spirit Never Dies. Lecturer, Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Before we get into the subject matter this evening, we are asking everyone to make a dua, a short prayer for our beloved sister, Tamina Nathari Nakleri, the way we're asking Allah to forgive her shortcomings and grant her paradise. Her janazah funeral will be for Tamina Nathari Nakleri, Saturday, June 24, 10 a.m. at Masjid al-Shabbat Yamin, 4th Avenue, 224 North 18th Street, East Orange, New Jersey, 07017. Once again, janazah for Tamina Nathari, Imam Qasim Nathari's daughter, passed away. Her janazah, and we're asking you to make a dua for her and her family. And her janazah will be on Saturday, June 24, 10 a.m. at Masjid al-Shaba Yamin, 4th Avenue, 224 North 18th Street, East Orange, New Jersey, 07112. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the world, most gracious, most merciful, of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who grew not astray. Humanity is one. People are one family. Why is al-Islam our religion? As-salamu alaykum, that is, peace be unto you. We always recall God's favor on us, and we begin with his name, saying, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. The topic for the presentation is, why is al-Islam our religion? Firstly, we are going to look at the word religion and what is given in the meaning and what is implied for the name religion, as it is given in our holy book, the sacred book of all Muslims called the Quran. The word deen has direct meaning, and it means religion or that you follow religion, but it also means, it also has reference to what is most important for us to know in order to have the right idea of religion, and that is debt. It comes from a word from which we derive also the word debt. So man in religion is firstly in religion because he feels, or we feel, a debt on us for all the things that we enjoy out of the universe, especially the earth. We feel a debt for those things that we enjoy and need out of the earth to support our life. We wouldn't be able to have life if it was not for this world that was existing before we knew of anything existing for ourselves. We feel a debt. We are enjoying the dinner. Man feels a debt when man comes home from labor, from his hard work, and he's enjoying a nice meal. Some men will feel in their hearts that I couldn't have this nice meal if creation didn't make it possible, if the earth didn't make it possible, if the sun was not helping me, if the moon wouldn't shine for me or wouldn't appear, I would be nothing. I wouldn't exist. So these thoughts come to us mainly when we retire from our hard work and we are relaxing. Then we enjoy a nice meal and we begin to feel that we should thank someone. And it's not without meaning that we say grace when we enjoy a nice meal or at the table with our families and our friends. We recognize that we couldn't have these things if these things hadn't been provided to us before our life began or our world planning for the world of man began. So we remember God and we thank God. So this is acknowledging a debt, and this is religion. So when we acknowledge a debt to God or to the existence superior to ours before, ours that opened up our world to us or made possible our world, this is the beginning of real religion. Real religion is being grateful to God. Real religion is being appreciative for the many, many things that make possible all the developments and progress that we make on this planet Earth. That's real religion. So the first step in religion, or the first awareness of ourselves as religious people or a religious community, should be gratitude to God, thankfulness, and know one of the names given Satan, the enemy of all humanity, of all people, is the ungrateful Satan. So the ungrateful is one of his strong names that name him because he is ungrateful. Why is Islam or El Islam our religion? And we say El Islam because that is how it is given in the Quranic Arabic text. The first expression in Quranic language for man didn't say just man, Islam. It said El Islam, the surrender to peace. Man surrender to God for the sake of being acceptable in God's presence, respecting God, and for the sake of being in accord with God's plan for the life of man or the life of people on this planet Earth. So this El Islam that reconciles us brings us in peaceful agreement with God that creates us, gives us the life and with his plan for that life on this planet Earth with other men and other people. So why is Al-Islam our religion? Firstly, because we have a need for a religion. It's in our own makeup as a flesh and a blood person or a creation. It is in our makeup to want to have religion for the sake of feeling that we are recognizing and being appreciative for the many benefits that we get from a world that existed before us, and a world that we did not create or make. It was here to support all of our needs, that we could have human beings on this planet Earth. Also, Al-Islam is our religion because Al-Islam appeals to our good sense and to our good sensitivity. Al-Islam supports and recognizes the best that is in man. It recognizes him as a compassionate creature, even though he ignores this need in his life or in his soul to give charity, to do kindness, to help combat the misery that are in the life of society. Sometimes that does not register in him, in his mind, as it should, but it is there. We choose Islam because Islam gives a picture of our life that pleases God. Islam gives us a picture of humanity, a picture of the best human life. And he gives that to us and say he's pleased with that. Al-Islam compliments man and compliments achievements for society under the leadership of man or under the leadership of man and women. So it compliments us and it points out our excellence, it points us to see, man, this is your excellence. Your excellence is your heart that feels bad and hurt when you see hurt on others as well as on yourself and your family. But when you see hurt, others distance from you, strangers, your heart bears that hurt. That's an excellence in the creation of man. That's our excellence. So the heart is the most excellent member in the body of the human being. It is said of Muhammad the prophet who received communication or revelation from God. It is said that God caused the revelation to come to his heart or descend upon his heart, not his brain, but upon his heart. So that tells us that we should have compassion, we should have love and sympathy for others other than ourselves, other than our immediate family. But it also gives to those most distant from us, the strangers, the nation across the water, living in a different part of the world, that register kindness and register a need to act and do something about removing the suffering from the people of the world. That heart is the most excellent part of the human being. Why is it more excellent than the brain? It is more excellent than the brain because sometimes the brain gives its attention to matters of intellect or matters that appear to our intellect but may not be concerned that we should be given attention to its society at the time. At the time, it may need our heart. The society may be needing our heart more than anything else. And the heart is the first step. We must come to God, pure heart, decent heart, with compassion for others. And the Quran shows us that it tells us that, but it also tells us that in terms of productivity, God has not created anything more useful, more productive than the human brain. So for religion, the two have to work together. The two have to be partners in the development of the world for the good future of the world. The brain and the heart have to be partners. So the heart has to sense the need in society and the brain has to respond, ideas, methods, strategies, etc., to deliver what the heart registers. As the brain respects what the heart suggests, register, pardon me. The brain, because the heart gets into the groove that God wants for the brain, And in that groove is the That groove is the groove of making society more decent, more productive, and more fulfilling for the life of people in society. Also, and I would say lastly, for this presentation, we choose Islam as a religion, or for our religion, because Islam appeals to our most productive element, our most productive features in our life, and that is human intelligence. Al-Islam is a religion of faith and reason. It is given in the description of Abraham and the one that points us, promised land, that is, to the community life that God wants for us on this planet Earth. He is a man of unquestionable faith in God, but a man of also respect for the human brain, the rational nature in man's mental makeup. To many leaders, that's what to bring people to faith addresses the spiritual and emotional side of man's life. So heavenly that it seems sometimes, that the human intelligence and the rational side of man's life or soul is ignored. And I believe that many people, whether they be in the East, where the Arabs or the Africans or the Europeans of the East, all people need to know that their intelligence is respected and not excluded from an appeal to get them to become converts to a religion. I'm not saying that other religions don't have that appeal, but I think, too, many religion leaders play down the value of the human intelligence and the ability to reason and think for ourselves. They play down that most important freedom that God has given us. For that reason, people choose religion other than Islam, or they will choose those religions that appeal to the emotional side more than anything else. But we chose Al-Islam for the reason given here, and I thank you for giving me attention. And I'm going to go now to another topic. Humanity is one. People are one family. Why is the Quran our book? The topic for this presentation is, why is the Quran our book? That is, why do Muslims say that the Quran is their book and they choose to get all of their guidance to support what they want to do with their life and the words from the Quran? The Quran, the word itself means or comes from a word meaning to read. The Quran means the book that is to be read and recited. So we read it and we recite it in the presence of the congregation, or we recite it the services that is given to us, that is given to the congregation for the congregation. It means to read and to recite the book that is to be read and recited. So the first communication from God, Allah, to Muhammad, the last prophet, to begin with the word read. The first communication said, read Iqra to Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him. And this first communication was completed with a total of 5 verses, and it addresses the intellect, the hunger in man's mind or in man's intellect as a thinker who wants to build his mind for the benefit of community on this earth. He is not selfish. He is not wanting to build his mind just to take care of his personal needs, family needs. No, Muhammad the prophet left this society, and he went up into the mountain that is now called the Mountain of Enlightenment or the Mountain of the Light. He went up there with the burden of the society on his heart. That is way up in the mountain, away from the people, in a kind of solitude. He sought solitude. He prayed hard to get a reach over his life, his existence in all matter, all existing things. And the response came, and when the response came, the response didn't say, "Muhammad, this is Allah." The response said, "Read in the name of your developer or your cherished," is translated Lord. Lord for the Muslims means developer or cherisher. He is the one responsible for us developing in the earth as human beings before we took up our cause or our need into our hands to work those things out ourselves. He had already created us human, and he had already provided us with the things that we need to support our life. They were already provided for us in his creation. We call Mother Earth or the Earth. So we chose the Quran, or the Quran is our book, because it recognizes our heart as a social binder that will bind us together as a social group. And the whole social group includes all the people on earth. Man is a social family. Man is mainly a spiritual and social family. All people in the human family or the human space species are members of one another in a spiritual and social bonding that we rightly can call the social family of mankind, spiritual and social family of all people of all mankind. So the brain is much needed to do the work of developing the earth to support us now and future, past, present, and future. And the Quran addresses the need so clearly. Not that other books don't address it. The Bible addresses it. In the Bible, this need is addressed, and it is addressed in a beautiful way. But the Quran struggles with our ignorance to convert us to seeing that man is to be respected as a human being with a brain, and the brain functions as an intelligent entity, and it progresses by thinking and by listening to thoughts, reasoning with thoughts, thinking, reasoning, and projecting into the future. So this is the brain. If we didn't have it, we couldn't have developments out of the earth. So the heart appreciates what God has created, as much earth as for our support to support our life. But the brain engages it. The brain engages it to see what future help is in this creation, for a better life or for a future we want. The brain does that. The brain is the chief instrument for developing the world, and Islam recognizes that and puts more attention on man individually and collectively, or people collectively and persons individually. It puts more attention on our life and causes us to take the great freedom that God created us for, more serious and develop the society with all of the total human life being the interest, not just one side of it, like the spiritual side. No, spiritual, material, political, the whole life being the interest and the whole life being seen or focused in society, the need of community life or the need of society, not looking to what I may want. Maybe I just want a peace of community life, not the whole community life. But we all together, we need the whole community life. So the focus is on the whole community life. In the Quran, we are told that man was once one community, that God is moving us with the instrument of matter or with the instrument of community life. He is moving us in that direction where we will become one community again, and we have become one community again economically. We have a system now where the world is seen as one world. All nations are seen in one focus, that we have become a global community that needs economic connections with each other everywhere. So the Quran is our book because we believe that the Quran addresses man for the future, no matter what God is saying in the present. The light is always shining towards the future or on the future, and we believe that we have come to that future now. And this generation of Muslims now is perhaps even more serious about knowing the Quran and following the guidance of the Quran, because the prophecy is in the Quran, and the light that shines on our road ahead in the Quran has already prepared us to be one. Al-Ummatan Islamiyya is one community, and the one your Quran says, I am your Lord, and it says that your community is one community, one united community, and I am your Lord. So God is our Lord. If we consider what I presented firstly, that the Quran is a book that says read, if we consider as a direction from God to say that knowledge, learning, and applying that knowledge and correcting education is the biggest need in your life for you to reach the destiny of accomplish what I would like to see mankind accomplish or human beings accomplish on this earth. Take that as a signal or as an order from God directed us. As I have explained it, then we have the most important, I think, reason, or we have seen the most important reason for us choosing the Quran as our book. The Quran came into the world from the mouth of Muhammad the Prophet, who received it through the medium Jibril, the angel Gabriel, to us. The Quran came into the world, and the effects of it brought thinkers, serious-minded people, mostly men as it is today, to come together and study the Quran to see how it was to benefit human life and community mainly, but human life, period. They were blessed to receive the sciences of the Quran that connects with the sciences of the material reality, and as a result, in the short time period, universities sprung up where there was no intellectual interest before, and man came from the different parts to those universities and to other centers that were established to study the Quran to see how much help they could get for restoring an interest in science and intellectual development. They did it, and the results was great. Progress not only for the spiritual side of life, but for the material side of life. The Renaissance that we read about as all about the Quran, Muhammad's leadership, and the scholars amongst Muslims served the need of mankind on this planet Earth and gave a beacon light to the West and the West accepted to follow that beacon light and was able to restore interest in higher learning and science to the West that had fallen under darkness of human neglect in society. Why is the Quran our book? The Quran is our book simply because it has appealed to us as being the answer for all of our needs on this planet Earth. As a group and as a people, thank you. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Humanity is one people, one family. Why is Muhammad our prophet? Again, assalamu alaikum to you all. That is, peace be unto you. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This presentation is why is Muhammad our prophet. Now, firstly, we didn't say why is Muhammad our messenger. We said why is Muhammad our prophet. It would be strongly forbidden for anyone who claimed to be a Muslim to say Muhammad is our messenger. No, Muhammad is only Allah's messenger. We didn't give Muhammad a message to give anybody. So it was Allah, the creator of all worlds and all things. It was Allah who gave Muhammad the Quran as a messenger from God to the whole world of mankind or to the whole world of human beings. So it would be very sinful of us to say Muhammad is our messenger after understanding what we are saying. But we all say as little children, entering high school, entering grade school, entering preschool, entering little children, are all taught to say Muhammad is our prophet. In Arabic, those speak Arabic, they would say, the little child would say as we say as adults, Muhammad Nabiya. Muhammad is my prophet. So this is very deep and philosophical richness. And I won't take you in that direction, but I will simply say that the way to understanding this is that God put it in the human being, nature, and the nature of our soul and psyche. He created the soul or psyche of the human being to sense what is going to come in the future. So on a much smaller plane or on a much smaller level, all human beings have this particular property that enables us to see the future or to sense the future. And if the danger is in it, we alarm the people. So revelation on the high classical level of classical scriptures was sacred. First was human being soul, the psyche or the soul, and the sensitivity, sensing something coming, something that's going to happen that would be bad and alarming their surroundings, alarming those around them, that something bad is going to happen. I feel it. I sense it. I know it's going to happen. So the fulfillment of this particular property or capacity in human beings, makeup becomes very, very evident and very, very significant and meaningful in our life for the whole of mankind when God raises above the ground level his servant and messenger, the prophet. He raises them up. And then he sees this capacity in us looming in its fulfillment after God communicate to man's soul and psyche. So that's why we say Muhammad is our prophet. So when I have said so far, so what I have said so far, I have said that the average Muslim does not even know the correct answer to why Muhammad is our prophet. They will give an answer, and it's good and accepted, and it's beautiful, and it's what we expect. to come first as an expression of why, and that is, he is our prophet because Allah chose him, and because Allah gave him the Quran for all mankind, and Allah made the Quran, the book, and the prophets a mercy to all the world. So we can go on and on. That's why Muhammad is our prophet. But those who think a little further or think a little deeper, they will say Muhammad is our prophet because he's not an angel, and we are not angels. We need to follow a human being. He is not a god. He is not a deity. And we need to have a human being as a model, not a god, because we would worry about a god being created by society or meeting a crook at the store and losing all of his money. Who would worry about that if it is a god? We don't worry about a god. A god takes care of himself in all situations. And who would worry about an angel? We don't worry about angels. Angels take care of themselves in all situations. God has assigned the angels, God's protection is always with the angels. So the angels doesn't make mistakes. The angel has no mind to question. So on the higher level or on a deeper insight, we say Muhammad is our prophet because he is a mortal like us. He is a human being of blood and flesh like us, like we are. He needed someone to protect him when he was a child. He was born without a father. His father died too soon. He was not able to have the support of a father in his life. And his mother died too soon for him to really have a support of a mother in his life. And he became an orphan child and a family member. And those who cared, they became his guardian. Also, Muhammad, the prophet, carried the burden on his heart of the ignorance and suffering of humanity, of his people. Firstly, then he saw in Arabia, but he had traveled outside of Arabia to Syria and some other places. He knew about the suffering of mankind on this earth, of people's families and societies on this earth. He knew about the suffering, and he chose to seek help from the higher authority and from what was responsible for existence, for the existence of the world, the material world, or the natural world, before man influenced it, and also who was responsible for man and his life and his world and his future. So he wanted an answer, and he went away from his people and went up into the mountains of An-Nura, Jubal An-Nura, the mountain of enlightenment. It was not called that before he went up there. The enlightenment came to him. That's why it's called Jubal al-Nura, the mountain of enlightenment. He went up there with the burden of humanity on his heart, and he got guidance from Allah, from God, and he came back down and he said, I am no God. I am no angel. I am a mortal human being just like you. So we need models that we can follow without putting up excuses. If we had a human model, that's just human model, just like us, then what excuse would we have for not following him? We had a model that can't do wrong. That gives us an excuse not to follow him. We might say, well, he's no model for me. He can't do it. He can't do any wrong. He has proven that he could be succeed with my life. He has proven that he could be a human and succeed with a human life. But if he is a divine and a human all at once, then the divine comes to the rescue of the human, and really, he is not exposed to human fate. So he is already assured that he will not be exposed to human fate, for his fate is divine always. So if he is divine inside of the human body, we need a human model to take us to human life as God wants it on this planet Earth. And if we follow the model, we will earn Holy Spirit. We will come into us. It will come into us. We will earn the Word of God. It will come into us. So eventually, we will have the divine in us, but the divine will not change our nature. We will still be human. And I want to go to heaven as a human being. Well, I don't know how much time I got left, but we are going to try to work with what we got left to say a few more things about why Muhammad is our prophet. In the tradition of Islam, the Islamic tradition, we know that the prophet himself said that he was sent into the world for the express purpose of guiding man to the excellence of character. And Allah said that he created the human being especially for his mercy. Now, if we look at the two of these, the need to earn God's mercy or the need to qualify for his gifts of his mercy and the need to be motivated towards the excellence of human character, we look at that, at the two of these. Now, Prophet Muhammad is said to have been already established upon the excellence of human character before God called him to be his servant and messenger. So when God gave him the Quran, God says of him, he is a mercy to all the worlds. So the first mercy was already reality for Muhammad. The first mercy is the excellence of human nature, the excellence of human creation, expressed as the excellence of human character. In Quranic Arabic, chapter and creations are tied together. Creation is spelled with an A. Ka is also Kula, from the same basic root, three letters. Kalakul, Kalamkal, Kalak, the same letter for creation. Kala, Kalamkal, same letter, just different pronunciation. So why is Muhammad our prophet? It is because he answers the need in our creation to have the urge and the need in our soul fulfilled to completion. In concluding this, God says, Ka'asten linat, Ka'asleten linat. Muhammad is sufficient as fulfilling the need for everything that man would have a need for or with. For Muhammad as a human being, Muhammad fulfilled all of that. All of our human needs are fulfilled completely. Tala'as means completely. Not else is left to be done. Nothing is left to be done. So he is called our Rajulun Ta'alim. He is called a complete man, and he is also called our Rajulun Kamalun, meaning both perfect and complete. So he is Ta'alim and Ta'alim Ta'alil, perfect and complete. So why is that saying to us? It is saying that all of us, human beings, have a need in our souls to keep improving upon the life until we perfect that life. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Live Talk Radio. So for the mold that God put us in, and we completed, not only perfected, but completed, Man is not complete if he only wants rituals and not an established life in community. He is not complete. He is only complete when he fulfills both the spiritual life and the mortal life. Thank you very much, and I hope I have said enough to answer the question, why is Muhammad our prophet? Humanity is one. People are one family. Haq, or the people of the first knowledge. Imam W.D. Muhammad, first faith and patience. Al-Ladina aminus wa aminus salihati. Il-Ladina aminus wa aminus salihati. Except those who have faith and their deeds are righteous or good deeds. It translates good deeds. The actual word is righteous, salihat. Amil, deeds of work, salihat, righteous. But then time gets difficult and things try you, watawatu bilhaq. And they give mutual support for truth, not just by yourself. Watawatu means you are working in association with others to promote truth. And the word for truth is sadiq. And there may be another one. I can't think of it right now. There may be two other words that mean truth in the common spoken language of Arabic. So haq is not really truth. Haq is reality. It's much stronger than truth, because truth may be in your opinion or maybe as you view the situation. That is truth. But haq means universal truth supports it. Reality supports it. Watawasau bil haq. Then patience, watawasau bil sabir. Don't try to take the burden on by yourself. Again, watawasau, work with others, people, in association with other people, best sabir. So if you look at the four, Al-Ladina aminus, except those who have faith, wa amilus solihati, and righteous deeds. So for addressing the individual, the thought, the individual he identifies with, the believer, it is really addressing the individual. So faith is an individual or personal matter. So that is your faith, and your deeds is an individual matter. So we don't go to God too or as a group to answer for our deeds. We go up before him bare and alone, stripped of all partners, pretenses, and would have answer for yourself. But the second two addresses the person who is going to work for this or live for this in association with others. So we don't find reality on our own. By ourselves, we find our reality by interacting with others and having experience in broad field. And then once that's fine, you should identify with those people who support truth and reality and be patient. Only in Allah's good time will he cause truth to prevail. So we must be working hard for it, but it might not be time for Allah. For Allah, it might not be the best time. So we have to wait until he blesses us with help though we promote it. Look how much truth and reality have been advanced by philosophers and scientists over all of these generations, centuries, in fact, a few thousand years, maybe more than that, but at least for 2, 3, or 4, or 5,000 years, it's been going on. But look how long, pardon me, to look how slow truth was coming to be accepted. It looks like the time for truth to be really accepted is now. I'm not talking about truth of the Quran or truth of the Quran brought. We know many Muslims accept it. So the truth that Jesus Christ brought, many Christians accept it. Our public still divided when it comes to supporting what the truth and the reality, truth and reality is being supported. In the works area for industry, it's being supported in center, restricted discipline, like the discipline, the discipline of science that respects reality. But when it comes to applying it politically, no, look how much truth and reality is violated by pains and the people who are so-called analyzing the campaign and what the campaign are saying and doing. Look how much they violate truth and reality. They work on the prejudices of the people, but that's where truth and reality is supposed to come home. It comes home in the life of the human society. So that's where Satan exploits the interest of society and tempts that interest to follow his advice, because it seems to promise little of or give them a lot. So when God promises us a lot, and if you aren't patient, then you will say, well, he's giving me little, promising you a lot, but you may not get only a little, and you might have to get it up, or you might have to get it, be satisfied with that, and be patient with that, generation after generation. But he promises that one day the gates of abundance will be open to you if you have patience. The Bible has it, the patience of Job. And Job means job. Isn't it spelled J-O-B-E? It's spelled J-O-B. That's pronounced job, not Job. And not Job, but that's the way they designed the language. They designed it to open your eyes if you're thinking. It makes connection. It's designed to open your eyes. But actually, that isn't a person being tried. That is the activity that earns income and benefits and comfort that's being tried. And no matter who the people are or who the person is, they have to understand that that won't come to you on your time or when you think it should. The Lord that created the whole material world, he is the one that oversees it. Is it not for the Creator to both create and command? That's the Quran. So Job was a conscious man. So he couldn't just accept to get money any kind of way. He had to get it and feel morally comfortable with how he got it. So his friends, they were getting it. So obviously, what is it saying is that this man suffered because he just won't do anything to get over. Even his own wife told him, why don't you curse that God and go on and die? If he would kill you, you would be better off dead. Why don't you just curse him and go on and die? But the stage of development that you ask about, they are tied. How you will succeed in the world is tied to how you will succeed with your own development. And they both require faith in God's commitment to truth and decency. And then they will suffer bad situations and not be tempted to reveal the situation by doing wrong. No. You have to have patience. When your patience there is no time limit on how long or how to be patient. God knows best. Patience of Job. So I used to hear, that the language when I was a child from the church people and older people, they would use to say, he's got the patience of Job. Faith and patience go together. In the Bible, in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا وَآمِنُوا صَالِحَاتِ. They always go together, faith and good deeds. See? That's what goes before patience. Why should I be bothered that much with patience if I don't care how I behave or conduct myself or what kind of moral choice I make? If I'm not even interested in moral choices, patience is not something that concerns me. So when Moses went up to the mount, and this is in both the Quran and the Bible before the Quran, and the Quran did not ignore it, or the revelation to the prophet did not leave it out. Consider how the people of Moses came from a land that had big achievements in the visible world. That is, their achievements were material, they were physical, not just spiritual, and their achievements were spiritual too. If we understand it, the ancient Egyptians in the time of that particular pharaoh and other pharaohs too had managed very strong spiritual achievements. And the people of Moses was used to just seeing things, just being there for their use. Nobody had to have a plan to get bread. Egypt had plenty of bread. Nobody had to plan to have comfort. Egypt had plenty of comfort. But here, you're leaving Egypt, and you're going out on your own, and it's going to require faith, good deeds, and patience, and a commitment to truth and reality. So while Moses was up there, they had lost faith in him. They couldn't keep patience. He was up in the mountain seeking God for life and understanding for them that would benefit the society, but they couldn't have patience with him. So they showed haste. We went up quick, and he's up there, and he's a holy man. We ain't got time for that kind of leader. Aaron, you know how to work this thing. Make for us a golden calf. We want a society of wisdom. We don't need this special guidance that he's looking for. We want a society of wisdom like Egypt had. So make a society of wisdom and do it quickly. Because the golden calf was a young calf that the language says was very useful and quick, agile, from which he gets the word haste, to hasten, to go fast, make us a golden calf. It didn't say a golden cow. It said a golden calf. There's a baby, young, ready to rip and run. What kind of society have been brought to. This society wasn't always like this when I was a boy. This wasn't existing, but now we have a very fast-paced society. We have fast food, everything fast, and we have more corruption than we ever demand could come into our lives. So these things aren't pictures of something back there. They are pictures of what is going on, what is going to happen as man multiplies and grows in wealth and comfort. So the language is future-oriented, although it existed back then. But it is nothing like what the language points to in the future. But all the time, that's going on. God's promise is with the people. Sadaqallahu Zadeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means that it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Maharashtra, for allowing us to come before you once again. But before you go, before we close, I want to say to you, we're asking everybody to make a dua, a prayer, for Sister Tamina Nafari Nakleri. She passed away. And we're asking everybody to make a dua for her and her family. Her janazah funeral for Tamina Nasari McClary will be Saturday, June the 24th, 10 a.m. at Masjid Asaba Yamin, 4th Avenue, Orange, New Jersey, 07017. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, I salam alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.
Amen.